it's another outside the box. Just warming up. Today's topic is tiny gardens. For the last 4 years, I've helped organize an annual urban garden tour, a free tour of small but productive gardens in the cities of Bangor and Brewer. About half of the dozen gardens can be seen in the morning, and the other half in the afternoon. This year's tour will be on July 18th, with a rain date of July 19th. The point of the tour is to demonstrate that anyone can grow a lot of fruit, vegetables, flowers, and herbs, even on a small patch of ground. That the food is tastier and better when grown locally. That gardening is good for one's health. And that when the choice is between a garden and a lawn, the garden wins by a mile. Preparing for this year's Urban Garden Tour, I recently read a book titled Tiny Gardens Everywhere, The Past, Present, and Future of the Self-Provisioning City by Kate Brown. I was eager for someone else's take on food production in the city. Having read Chris Mage's Small Farm Future, which I discussed in an Outside the Box several years ago, I was not convinced a massive move from city to country, which was Smage's solution, to increase food production would succeed. Growing more food in cities seems much more realistic and environmentally responsible. Much of Brown's book details the historical and contemporary role of tiny, usually urban, gardens in feeding people, especially in Europe and North America. Brown does not indicate if this also applies to other continents. Brown describes the importance of small plots for less wealthy people after most common land disappeared. During war times, through victory gardens, and for blacks and immigrants in the U.S. From Russian dachas, summer homes, to inner city Washington, D.C., small plots have been a primary food source for working class and low-income people for centuries. Until recent decades, gardens provided the self-provisioning of fresh food to almost everyone. While interesting historically, the highlight for me was the chapter Lawn and Order, L-A-W-N and Order, which challenges traditional classist and racist views of gardens as only for working class and darker skinned people. Middle class or wealthy people tend to grow a lawn, maybe a few flowers, and little else. They get food from the supermarket, not the backyard. Having a lawn demonstrates conspicuous consumption only wealthier people can afford. Brown cites prejudice against gardens, such as ordinances opposing gardens or plants above a certain height. Chicago netted over $1.6 million in fines in 2009 against residents who didn't maintain their so-called neat and orderly yards. Lawn laws, also in Chicago, were even used to maintain segregated housing. Prime agricultural and good gardening land is not preserved, but often becomes house lots with grass. And only turf grass is allowed by many homeowners' associations. But here's the real question. Why do we plant grass that is inedible, unusable, and has to be cut often, when we can instead plant crops that taste delicious, are beautiful to view, provide good health to humans, and benefit the environment? It's time to end that prejudice against gardens and to grow your own. Kate Brown's conclusion was, we need tiny gardens everywhere. Do you agree? I'm Larry Danziger, in the midst of enjoying and eating from my urban garden every day.